Well, there they were. Two ranch hands smiling at me like they was being friends. Only thing was, I sure didn't know what direction that pair of boars would be pointing toward. You ain't coming in. Bertel opened the crack. And I slid in and bolted up.
What was all that?
Crayfish is calling it a posse. I'm calling it trouble. I filled him in on all that. He just stood there. I don't know what I'm gonna do. Crayfish says he's putting two deputies, that's what he called them, on me, so I can't go take a leak without a pair of T-bar rannies tagging along. It sure is a problem.
We've been had.
Truth to tell, I didn't have no idea what to do. Ruble had taken over. I was a prisoner in my own town. If I stepped out the door, there'd be men shadowing me, seeing what I was up to. If I rode out on Critter, there'd be some of Ruble's hands following me. If I tried to form a real posse from merchants in town, Ruble's men would scare them off. There were tough men, strong men and doubtful, men I'd deputize any time, but no match for the gunslicks on Ruble's payroll. And it looked like this was going to keep right on for almost 2 weeks. I decided I'd just keep on doing my duty, do my rounds, keep King Bragg secure inside his cell, see to the safety of them workmen when they put up the gallows and all. And if anyone interfered, someone was going to eat some lead. Bertel was shuffling through Dodgers, them flyers that come in the mail with pictures of wanted men on them. It was one way of beating the boredom.
Sheriff, you seen these?
He handed me a couple of old Dodgers, printed 3 years ago. They'd been sent up from Colorado. A sheriff down there was looking for a pair of rustlers and holdup men, Foxy and Weasel Ramshorn. I stared real hard at those drawings, and even if the ink was bad, them two fellers did look a lot like Foxy and Weasel Jones, the pair that were lying out in the cemetery after King Bragg emptied his revolver into them. But it was pretty tough to say that these were the same fellers. That was the trouble with Dodgers. A few had photographs, but most had bad drawings and bad descriptions, and it wasn't easy to make any sense of them. This pair of badasses was wanted for rustling, for robbing a Denver and Rio Grande train, and for holding up a Pueblo State Bank. They was also wanted for questioning in the death of a rancher down there named Jared Bobwhite, who was found in four pieces on his front porch after he'd filed charges against them brothers. That happened in Sterling, out on the plains.
You think that pair of saints is the same pair as got shot here?
Danged if I know. They was described as medium height, dark, thin, and Foxy was missing an earlobe. They were considered armed and dangerous, and there was $1,000 reward dead or alive for each one. Well, that interested me some. I was wondering what King Bragg was going to do with $2,000. I took them Dodgers back into the jail and found King Bragg pacing. These the pair you shot?
Sheriff, I've told you 20 times.
Yeah, I know. But do these Dodgers remind you anyone? He stared. I held them Dodgers on my side of the bars, not wanting him to tear them up.
Yes. Those are Ruble's men, I'm sure of it.
There's a reward. You applying for it? He glared at me and whirled back to his metal bunk. I guess that wasn't a good question. But he wasn't talking no more, so I let him stew back there. Maybe his old man would get the reward money if it could be proven. Maybe King Bragg did the world a favor, getting rid of them two Ramshorn brothers. I guess I better write that sheriff down there. Carl Gable is his name. I dreaded writing a letter. I'd written only one or two in my life, and now I was stuck with writing another one. But maybe I could get Judge Nippers to do it. Nippers would know how to string all them words together. But I thought maybe there was something else for me to do first. I stuffed them Dodgers into my pocket. I'm gonna show these to Crayfish. You hold the fort now. Bertel nodded. He was piling through more Dodgers. Now that he'd discovered something real interesting in that stack, he was hell-bent to find some more. I knew he was looking for a Dodger on that other feller King Bragg dispatched, the one called Rocco, whose last name no one knew. He was just Rocco, and he was cold in the ground. I let myself out, and Bertel locked up after me. It sure was a fine spring day. Them two hard cases guarding the place for Crayfish nodded, but didn't follow me. He put them there to keep Anchor Ranch men from busting in, and there they stood. I was pretty sure I knew where to find Crayfish. He'd be upstairs in Rosie's parlor house, along with most of his crew. I guess that was as good a place as any if you're going to take over a town for 2 weeks. Rosie's was actually behind Saloon Row across the alley and discreetly out of sight for anyone riding into town. You have to give Rosie credit for that. The less visible she was, the better for her business. Her place was another of them board and batten buildings that was so common and doubtful, the kind of structure that can be gotten up fast and could be ditched without no pain if doubtful disappeared, the way most western towns did. So it was just another weathered brown two-story building hidden away. But Rosie was always a little different. She had a big veranda on the front and a mess of flowers growing in pots there, making the place look nice. Her front door was enameled bright blue and had a little eye hole in it. There was only a couple of windows downstairs, mostly frosted glass to discourage peepers. But there wasn't much to be peeping at downstairs. A bar room with a piano and red velvet drapes, a nice little parlor with a few stuffed chairs, and a small kitchen. A fella could go in there and have a drink and sort of meet the help, which drifted through there in little gauzy outfits. There was a big old stairway going upstairs, and maybe 8 or 10 little cribs there, and Rosie's suite, which was 2 rooms nicely furnished. Rosie usually had 6 ladies engaged in the trade, plus herself and a barkeep and a clean-up boy or girl. Well, it was sure a fine day, bright warm sun, and I enjoyed my hike over there. There was a mess of geraniums in pots on that porch. I knocked on the blue door, and pretty soon it got opened up by a maid in black wearing a little white apron. She saw my badge and hesitated. I'm just gonna palaver with Crayfish.
He doesn't want to be bothered, Sheriff.
Well, I guess I'll bother him anyway. Where's he at?
I'm not supposed... Well, you could find him in Miss Rosie's rooms.
I'll just go knock, and I won't say who steered me there. She nodded, looking real worried. I could see there were a few of the T-Bar ranch hands lollygagging around in the parlor and the bar, sipping red-eye and looking bored. The girls was leaving them alone. They'd likely had their fill and was just passing time now. There was a few more of them hard cases upstairs. The doors to half them rooms was open, and about every other room had a T-Bar man lying buck naked in there. I just waved as I passed and headed toward Rosie's rooms, which fronted on the street above the veranda. Sure enough, Rosie's door was shut tight, so I just rapped.
Whoever you are, beat it!
It's your old pal Cotton.
Come back some other time. I got a customer.
I gotta talk with Crayfish, and right now, Rosie.
All right, let me get out of the saddle. All right, come on in.
The pair of them was lying side by side on that 4-poster bed. They both had their south half covered with a sheet. She sure was pretty, even if she was twice my age. I'd heard she was on the shady side of 40, but except for some little crow's feet around her brown eyes, you couldn't tell. Crayfish, he was just a mess of curly chest hair and arm hair and neck hair, not worth a second glance. They was just lounging there, sort of smirky, waiting for me to present my business to them and enjoying the whole shebang. Me, I was getting annoyed, not knowing how to do my sheriff business with a half-naked gent and lady staring up at me.
Well?
I come to show you some Dodgers.
Well, you're interrupting a business conference I'm having with Rosie.
Well, I got some sheriff business.
I'm thinking of buying out, Rosie. I always wanted my own cat house. And you've got to know the merchandise. It's called due diligence. I got to know the merchandise backwards and forward, from top to bottom.
I need for you to look at these Dodgers. We found them in my office. Now, it looks like these two fellers, the Ramshorn brothers, are the same as got killed by King Bragg. Only here they was using a different name, Jonas. There's Colorado warrants on them for rustling and a few items like that. I thought maybe you could tell me for sure whether these fellers in the pictures are the same as got killed in The Last Chance. I handed him the Dodgers, and Crayfish, he gets out of bed and fetches his spectacles and has a look.
I don't think so. Jonas brothers weren't so dark and skinny and younger.
They got the same first names, Foxy and Weasel.
Well, half the drovers I hire got strange monikers like that. I got a tiger and a blue and a rabbit and a bullwhip. No, Sheriff, these are not my boys.
Let me see.
Crayfish handed the Dodgers to Rosie, and she studied them real good.
They all come in here sooner or later, you know. I see just about every drover and ranch hand in the valley. And I've never seen this pair of ram's horns. But all I can see on these Dodgers are the faces, and I hardly ever look at faces.
She handed the Dodgers back. Crayfish, I got wind somewhere that the Jonas brothers, they were picking off a steer now and then from you.
From me? They were good men, reliable men. I felt the loss ever since the Bragg boy killed them.
You weren't losing beeves to them?
Go talk to my foreman, Plug Parsons. Tell him I sent you. He's in one of these rooms in here.
You're pretty sure these Ramshorn boys and the Dodgers got nothing to do with the Jonas boys?
You're interrupting my business conference, Sheriff. I hoped to find out whether to purchase this place.
I guess there wasn't much more to ask Crayfish Ruble. Them two was mighty eager for me to get out. The funny thing is, I didn't believe Crayfish. It was two Colorado rustlers and train robbers we got in the Doubtful Cemetery, even if Crayfish wasn't admitting it. But there wasn't much I could do about that. If Crayfish wanted some outlaws on his payroll, that was his business. I thought maybe he was using them two outlaws to lift a few beeves off of Admiral Bragg's pastures. It sure made sense. They was waiting there for me to get out. But just to be ornery, I stuck around a little. Sure, a sunny day.
I'd enjoy your business, Sheriff.
Well, I'd enjoy hers, no doubt about it. But right now, there was this thing in my head. I wanted to find out whether Crayfish knew about them Jonas boys. In fact, there was a heap of stuff I wanted to find out. Maybe I could warm a little out of Sammy upward, even if he was some put out with me. I reckon I'll let you get back to business. Rosie, she winked at me. But Crayfish, he looked like he was just getting mad. I sort of strolled slow to the door, not wanting them to think I was in any rush to get out of there. And at the door, I turned for a last glance, and they was just staring at me. So I got out and started looking for Plug Parsons to see what he knew about them brothers. He was still around Doubtful after all, in spite of what Upward told me. But Plug wasn't in the parlor house. I tried most every door, interrupting business here and there, but I never did find Plug. I thought he'd give me some straight answers on the Jonas brothers, and maybe he'd have a word or two for me about that other one King Bragg shot, the one called Rocco. I got out of the parlor house and sucked in some fresh air. Too much perfume in that place. I headed for the last chance, hoping to find out a little more, and when I walked in, I knew I was real lucky, because standing at the bar and talking with Upward was Plug Parsons himself. It couldn't be better. There was Plug Parsons, the foreman, sipping Red Eye along with Upward. Plug was the straw boss of the T-bar and also was one of the two witnesses that got hauled in to testify about the shooting. Upward, he glanced at me like he was none too pleased to see me, but he gave me a fake smile.
What'll it be, sarsaparilla?
Nah, Sammy, I'll buy me a shot.
Oh, you must be off duty, huh?
I'm always on duty, Sammy. He set a glass in front of me and pushed the bottle toward me. It had been in front of Plug Parsons. Well, good to see you, Plug. Ain't hardly seen you in town since the trial.
We're here for the hanging.
I poured two fingers. That stuff, it was pure fire water, distilled maybe 2 weeks ago and left to cure maybe 2 days. That splash, it attacked my teeth, scraped my nostrils, sandpapered my throat, and needled me all over. Mighty fine. Best sipping whiskey I've had in a while. Probably won some gold medals somewheres. I guess I'll add a splash, Sammy. They smirked. Watering down the booze was a sign of being a sissy, but I didn't care. Let them think I'm a sissy. It actually would give me an advantage if I needed one in a fight. Upward, he added a little water while Plug got smirky.
That'll be 2 extra cents for the water.
You hear the old one about the feller who was dining? And he says to the waiter, "There's a fly in my soup." And the waiter says, "That's an extra nickel for the meat, sir."
You got a real sense of humor, Sheriff.
Oh, yeah, that's a knee slapper.
I guess you fellas are gonna stick around for a few days? Well, that's fine.
We're making sure that little bastard gets strung up proper.
Oh, he will be. But you know, he sort of did a favor around here, plugging a pair of outlaws like the Jonas brothers.
They was outlaws, all right.
There are warrants out of Colorado on that pair. They were a pair of bad boys, for sure.
What were the warrants for?
Oh, a mess of stuff. Rustling, bank robbery, train robbery. And they was wanted for questioning in the death of a rancher down there. Seems the rancher caught someone making off with his cows, so maybe them two killed him. Stuff like that.
Ain't that interesting? I didn't know that part. Crayfish, he thought he was hiring a pair of gun slicks to keep the lid on around here, with Admiral Bragg pushing and shoving the way he did.
I ain't got anything on Rocco, except that he was palled up with the Jonas boys. Maybe the boy did the world a favor.
What do you mean?
I mean, King Bragg wiped out two real bad fellers and maybe one more. Fellers that would have turned on their boss and maybe was fixing to get real mean with Crayfish.
No, nothing like that. Crayfish, he can take care of himself.
Them Dodgers that come in the mail, half of them are so blurry they don't help none. I get them all the time. They're good ones, they got a photograph, but most just got a sketch and some information that don't help at all. Like the wanted man's medium and light-haired and got a scar over the left eyebrow and shifty eyes. How am I supposed to do something with that? You got any notions, Plug?
I'm not a lawman, Cotton. Me, I like to hear about reputations. Someone wants me to hire them on the T-bar. Half the time, someone else knows something about the man. The boss keeps his ear to the ground, too. He knows who he wants on the place.
I guess maybe he's plumb glad them three got shot.
I wouldn't know about that.
The Crayfish felt real bad about it. Good man down, shot in cold blood by that punk kid. The Crayfish, he paid for the burying, declared a day of mourning on the ranch, and I served free beer all that day of mourning. Sort of like a wake, Sheriff. Lots of T-bar men in here. A few tears. We hated to say goodbye to some T-bar riders.
That's so? I sort of thought them three were about as rotten as they come.
It don't matter. They was with the outfit, and we are loyal to the brand, every last one of us. When anyone in the outfit goes down, we all pull together. Crayfish started a widow and orphan fund for them, put in $10 for starters, but no one claimed it. Them two Jonas brothers were loners, I guess.
They'd have to be loners, rustling their boss blind.
Who says that?
Oh, it's on the Dodgers from Colorado. They were making a dime or two on the side, not telling anyone about it. But they got caught and then escaped.
You don't say. That's sure news to me. You sort of wonder about people sometimes.
Was them two moving a few beeves out of the T-bar?
Not as I know of. I'd have heard of it. Mr. Rubel, he never asked me to look into it.
How come King Bragg put bullets in those two? Were they rustling beef from the Anchor Ranch?
He just walked in, got himself a drink, and started pumping bullets. That's what he had in mind before he set foot in here. He just walked in, and pretty soon there was three dead T-bar men. Good hands, bleeding on the sawdust.
I don't get it. How did he know them three were here?
Someone must have told him.
Who?
Beats me. Sheriff, you're sniffing around the way a dog sniffs at vomit. Why? Just let it go, all right? The whole thing was tried, there were witnesses, including me, and the jury convicted King Bragg of triple murder, and the judge sentenced him. Just let her go now, and get back to keeping the peace.
Well, it's Rocco that interests me. I'm just not sure who he was.
He was just a drifting bum from back east.
Why'd you hire him then?
For safety. Rocco never wore a gun. You never saw a short gun on him. But he's the one I'd like to have with me in a saloon. He could cut someone up so fast they'd be dead before they knew they had a knife in them.
A knifer?
The best. You never saw a knife on him either. But he always had two. One sewn into his boot and the other in a pouch hanging behind his neck under his shirt.
Why would Crayfish Rubel want a knifer on his payroll?
Beats me, Sheriff.
Castrating bull calves?
That takes a knife fighter? It didn't spare him from a bullet from King Bragg. Now why'd the boy shoot him too?
Oh, let it go, Sheriff!
So why'd he die? No one said nothing. The question hung there. Plug Parson, he sipped his drink, and upward, he polished his bar. And me? I just stood there waiting for some answer that didn't come. Did Rocco get crosswise of anyone?
I'm going back to Rosie's. I came here for a good time, nice afternoon, and next thing I know, the damn sheriff's digging up old bones.
I watched the straw boss hike his jeans up and walk out. Upward got the bottle of red eye from me and put it on the back bar out of my reach and turned his back to me. Things was getting sort of unfriendly at the last chance. I left two bits on the bar and headed into the sunlight of late afternoon. The town was peaceful enough. But all them T-Bar men was keeping it peaceful. Maybe too peaceful. I got to thinking about that little visit. Plug wasn't even curious when I told him the Jonas Brothers had a record. He must have known it. He didn't ask to see the Dodgers either. I wondered if Plug knew they had changed their name from Ramshorn to Jonas. Plug sure was not surprised. Sammy wasn't surprised. And strange to say, I wasn't surprised that they weren't surprised. Back at the jailhouse and sheriff's office, I seen that Rusty had taken over from Bertel, and that things was peaceful enough.
You've been running around the bars and cat houses, I hear.
It sure was an education. Over at Rosie's, Crayfish and Rosie were having a horizontal business conference. And over at the Last Chance, Plug Parsons and Sammy Upward weren't very happy when I started talking about them three that King Bragg shot. But I don't know much else. You know anything?
Yeah. King wants to ask you a question.
I'll go talk to him. The kid was peering through the bars.
How many drinks does it take to knock someone out?
I sure don't know. Well, some fellas, they can drink all night and never even get fuzzy. Other fellas are flat on their ass after a couple.
One drink?
I never heard of one drink knocking anyone out.
I only had one drink of ale at the sampling room that night.
You sure?
One drink. Then I went over to the Last Chance, and Sammy Upward served me.
And after that?
I was lying on the sawdust. I think I got hit on the head.
Critter was mad at me. When I entered his stall,
bang!
He fired a left rear hoof at my groin. He sure knows how to hurt a guy.
Cut it out! We're going for a trip.
I started to brush him. But he leaned into me, pushing me against the plank wall, intending to break a few of my ribs.
You're dog food!
I kneed him away just before he splintered my whole rib cage. He laid back his ears and clacked his teeth.
Try that again and I'll leave you here.
That subdued him. He hated cooped up life in there. He suffered in there. He rolled his eyes upward like a helpless wife in there. And in between, he plotted murder and mayhem. But the threat to leave him there wrought a new cheerfulness in him, and he settled for a swat across my face with his tail. That's better. I brushed him real good, threw the blanket on and my saddle over that, cinched it up, wary of another hoof, and then I stuffed a bit in his mouth and slid the bridle over his ugly ears. I backed him out into the aisle. We were ready to travel. Critter and I had been friends for half a dozen years. I steered Critter out onto Wyoming Street and soon put Doubtful behind me. It was a nippy spring day with a few razors in the wind, but that was fine with me. I get tired of city life pretty quick. I wasn't sure I'd stay in Doubtful for long, but the pay was pretty fine, and I got to sip some red eye now and then, and look at horse flesh, and sometimes female flesh, which was better than once a month ranch paydays. I buttoned my canvas coat up tight and pulled my hat low against the gusty wind out of the snowy mountains. Critter and me, we were going on a little exploration. As long as most all of them T-Bar men and Crayfish Ruble were camping in my metropolis, I thought I'd just go have a look at the T-Bar when there wasn't no one but a couple of caretakers around there. I just wanted to see a few things. I didn't much like it that the only witnesses to King Bragg's killing spree of T-Bar men was other T-Bar men. The T-Bar was up the valley, farther than the Anchor Ranch owned by Admiral Bragg, which was a bone of contention. At Crayfish ached to be closer to town and had designs on Bragg's property so he could ride into town most any time and entertain the ladies. But Bragg had got here first and had nabbed all the best land, which even had some well-watered hay meadow and a creek or two, leaving latecomers like Crayfish to settle for dry hills and long gulches. I steered past a mess of Anchor Ranch cattle. Bragg had started with them red shorthorns and was trying to breed closer to Angus now. I steered toward a bunch that was all wearing the Anchor brand, unmistakable. I continued up the road a piece and saw a horseman heading my way. Only it wasn't male, judging from that big straw hat and the way the party sat the horse. I sort of dreaded what was coming. I guess Queen Bragg was the last person I wanted to see. She was a huffy sort, and probably would have tried the jailbreaker Pa was cooking up. And besides, she was ornery and uppity, too. But I thought I'd put up with it, seeing as how she was closing on me fast. Sure enough, it was Queen, riding a blooded mare and wearing one of them split leather skirts so she could ride astride. I never did understand why women ride side saddle, and I sort of secretly was pleased to see Queen showing some sense. Well, she sailed right up and smiled. Howdy, Miss Bragg.
Howdy yourself. You looking for something here?
Nope, just riding through.
Off to the crayfish empire, then.
I wasn't gonna tell her my business, so I just stared.
You want company?
No, miss, I'll just go her alone.
Well, you've got company.
She steered that blooded horse in beside me. I'm doing fine alone, miss, so you just get along now and take the morning air and I'll be on my way.
You are stuck with me.
Only till we get to the T-bar range. This is your turf, so I'll somehow manage to survive the next mile or two if I try real hard and you don't try no more jailbreaks. She settled in beside me, and I could tell she was eyeing me out of the corner of her eyes, but I just stayed real stony. I wasn't gonna bend an inch.
I'm sorry about what happened in town. It wasn't my idea or my will, but my father made me.
Made you what?
Made me smuggle.
Smuggle what?
I loaded 2-shot derringer, a hacksaw blade, a file, a knife, and a ball of cord.
You had all that stuff under... down there?
Yeah, my skirts. I was a walking arsenal because I also had a spare revolver if my father needed one.
You was hauling iron, miss. I should have pinched you. Arrest you.
Maybe pinched would have been better.
Now, see here, Miss Queen, I'm a proper sheriff. I should have arrested you and had you searched.
You could have searched me without even asking, Cotton.
Lady, you stop your nag right there, and I'm riding ahead, and don't you follow. I never got invited to search a woman before, and I don't have the smarts to deal with it, so I just got huffy, which seemed to work, at least for a few moments. But she followed and then caught up, pushing her nag until it was beside mine. I scowled at her some, but what's a feller to do? Queen, she had a faint smile twitching her lips a little.
Is King safe?
I think so. All them T-bar riders just want to make sure he's sent away. They ain't trying to bust in. Truth is, Miss Bragg, they're making sure you and your pa don't spirit the boy away.
He's innocent, you know.
No, I don't know. But I'm poking around some.
Is that what you're doing now?
I don't think it's your business, miss.
Well, if you are, maybe I can help.
No, when we get to the T-bar line, I'm crossing and you're staying put.
I ride the T-bar range all the time. No one ever bothers me. That's because I'm me. I know some things to show you.
Like what?
Unmarked graves. New brands that aren't registered in the brand books.
No, that don't have any bearing on King shooting 3 T-bar men.
Yeah, but they do. The brands are all on Maverick's calves.
Now what's that got to do with anything, girl? We got to the T-bar line. This was still pretty much open range, but there was a gate and a drift fence here. I got down and opened the gate. She rode through. Hey, this is where we part company. She didn't budge. I turned critter, reached down and grabbed the bridle of that blooded horse of hers and led it through the gate. Then I got off Critter to close the gate. But next I knew she was back on T-bar range. This was getting tiresome. You head back, or I'll head back. The pair of us ain't going forward.
I wish you were more forward, Sheriff.
All right. Well, you show me this stuff, and then go hightail out of here. I pulled the wire gate shut and dropped the loop to secure it. I sure didn't know whether this was a good idea, her along with the sheriff on T-Bar Ranch land. There wasn't no one in sight, just a lot of grassy hills, greening up in the spring, and blue sky, and puffy white clouds that could betray a feller and dump snow or ice or cold rain in a moment. I guessed we wouldn't see anyone, what with all but 2 or 3 of them T-Bar men in town. But I pulled my badge from my pocket and pinned it on my coat. That badge could put me there on the ranch proper. But I didn't have no badge for her. It sure was quiet. The midday sun had warmed things into a fine day. I didn't see one steer or cow or calf or bull. Nothing but a golden eagle, wings spread out to every last feather tip, patrolling for mice or rabbits. We began to ride among T-bar cattle, grazing peacefully, their brand burned into their left flank. Crayfish wasn't much interested in breeding up, so his cows were a motley bunch. every color I could think of and then some, and showing a lot of horn, like there was some Texas longhorn in the lot. We rode onward, and then hit a bunch of young stuff, yearlings mostly. And this bunch interested me, because it had a 2+ brand burned into their left flank instead of the T-bar. I steered Critter closer to have a look. And sure enough, the brand was one I'd never seen. And I could see how easy it was to turn a T-bar into a 2+ with a running iron. But there the bunch was. I guess I'll have to look in the brand book to see who owns those. Maybe Crayfish does.
Maybe he didn't, but does now.
What do you mean by that?
They've been mavericked. You can call it the 2+ if you want. I'll call it the Double Cross.
I guess I'll look for some answers.
Now I'm going to take you to the cemetery.
What's there?
You'll see.
She took the lead, riding toward the ranch headquarters, located in a broad gulch a mile ahead. We still didn't see a soul, what with all them boys in town. But long before we reached the ranch buildings, she turned into a side gulch, and we followed it completely out of sight of the main buildings. It was a brushy gulch, and we scared up deer and skunks and various critters, working through red willow brush and whatnot. The gulch divided into 3 branches, and she took the rightmost one, which wound deep into grassy hills. I sure got to wondering where she was going, and how she knew to come to this silent notch in the foothills, but she kept right on until she suddenly stopped. There, on a clay flat, were 4 long mounds that sure looked to me like 4 graves. They weren't marked, and one of the mounds was pretty much disintegrated from flash floods running over it.
Dig!
But I didn't have a shovel. There sure wasn't a shovel anywhere, except maybe at the T-Bar headquarters, and I wasn't planning to borrow one there. But the more I thought about it, the more I began to itch. How do you know these are graves?
What else would they be?
Ranchers bury lots of critters.
No, we mostly drag dead horses or dogs or sheep into the brush and let nature take care of itself.
Well, I don't know of anyone come up missing. Them cowboys come and go riding the line, and I don't know of anyone that's gone and got himself killed.
Not cowboys, women.
Now what the devil are you mouthing about?
Women in those graves. The ones who vanished from the red light district.
There were a few.
Crayfish Rubel's women.
Why do you say that?
It's common knowledge, and here's where they ended up.
You got proof?
Sheriff, I know things without what you call proof.
What's this got to do with your brother?
Crayfish.
I ain't gonna borrow a shovel from the T-bar. I'm not sure I'm even gonna dig around here without some good reason.
I knew you'd say that.
Let's get out of here. She was smiling at me as if she knew exactly what I'd do next. I ignored her and steered Critter down the gulch, wanting to get off T-bar range and then get shut of her. I was getting tired of uppity local aristocracy. She was worse than Admiral when it came to looking down a long nose at me. We rode out, our backs to the wind, and watched the new grass weave in the blustery wind. The farther we got from that burial ground, the better I felt. Them graves were probably real old, not fresh, and probably went back to Indian times. She kept grinning at me, sort of out of the corner of her eyes, and I didn't feel much like jabbering with her, so we just rode across big pastures with cattle like tiny black dots here and there. It sure was big country. The kind that lifted the heart and made a man feel complete. I opened the gate at the fence line. And she rode through, and I closed it behind us. We were on Anchor Ranch land then. And the funny thing was, she sort of shrank down like it was her pappy's land, and she was back under the thumb of her master. I watched her. She even rode different on that blooded horse. I thought maybe she'd turn mean on me. But she just rode quietly until we got to the place where the road to her headquarters turned off.
He's innocent, and time is running out. Please, try to save him.
She reached across and placed her hand on mine, where I was holding the reins, and just pressed for a moment. It sure was nice, and made me almost forget she was Queen Bragg, snotty daughter of Admiral Bragg, and was confessing to smuggling jailbreak tools a while before. Then she steered the blooded horse up the road to her place and left me there. I pinned up Critter in Turk's livery barn after brushing him down, and he snapped at me with those big buck teeth of his, getting a nip into my shirt. Better luck next time. I was ready for you. He just laid his ears back, but I closed the stall door and left him to repent for a day or two. I checked in at the sheriff's office and jail, and Rusty said all was quiet, so I patrolled the town. I finally landed in the sampling room, thinking maybe to talk to Mrs. Gladstone. She'd served King his drink just a little before he left and killed three men, so maybe I ought to just find out what he was tossing down his parched throat. She was in there all right, but she had no customers, since Anchor Ranch men were steering clear of town with all those T-bar men everywhere. I guess Admiral Bragg didn't want to pick a fight and was keeping his crew out at the ranch. She eyed me from a rocking chair, where she was sitting in the shaft of sunlight, knitting a scarf.
You're the first person I've seen today. My customers seem to be staying away from town.
They don't want trouble, ma'am.
What can I pour you, Mr. Pickens?
Some red eye. I'm done for the day.
I'm sure you wouldn't sip on duty.
I'm always on duty, ma'am.
Well, it's your prerogative.
My what?
Your choice. Your privilege. You are privileged to do what you wish.
I never heard that one before. Where'd you get a carpet bag full of words like that?
I was an English teacher in the Minnesota Normal School before I came here.
English? You?
This is better. I earn a living here. Don't ever go into English, Sheriff. People who work with words don't get a wooden nickel for it. People who write starve. People who teach reading and writing and spelling can't make ends meet.
So you come out here?
Mr. Pickens, I make three times more money running the sampling room than I did teaching English to students who intended to be teachers. And in the sampling room, I serve a better class of customers.
She set the bottle of red eye on the bar along with a tumbler. I poured two fingers, being real careful not to get too enthusiastic. She watched me with approval. At least she'd sell one drink this slow day. I sipped. I let that first fire water slide down and start some trouble in my gut. And then, I sipped again. You had to ease into red eye and not take her all at once. Once it numbed your tongue and throat, then you could swallow a little more. But only after it scoured your stomach and started south from there. She studied me to see if I measured up. I'd just flunked her English lesson and was fearful I'd flunk whatever else was coming along the pipe. But she sort of smiled. So we sort of hung there at the bar. She behind and me in front with a boot on the rail.
Is there something you wish to see me about, Mr. Pickens?
Well, yes, ma'am. I want to talk about King Bragg.
I can't bear it. Talk about anything else. The sands of time are running through the hourglass.
I'm sort of looking into it a little. Do you remember how he was acting around here before he got himself in trouble down the street?
He was always a little youthful and impetuous, Sheriff. And he was that evening.
Was he drunk as a skunk?
He had sipped one ale, Mr. Pickens. Just a little ale, made in Wisconsin and shipped clear out here. I keep a little on hand for him and his father.
That's all? Some ale?
It's a very gentle drink, Sheriff.
Why did he leave here and go over there to the Last Chance?
A man pushed him into it. A gentleman came in here and told King Bragg that the cowboys over at the Last Chance were saying bad things about him and his family and the Anchor Ranch, and if he wasn't a coward, he'd come and settle their hash.
Someone goaded him into leaving here?
Goaded is a good word, especially coming from you, Sheriff. Yes, a sort of heavy gentleman came in, goaded him, and finally King drained his ale and stepped out into the dusk. I didn't want him to go. I knew something bad would come of it, and it did. That was the last I saw of the young man.
Do you know who that man was? The one that goaded him?
Why, yes, I knew him slightly. It was the T-bar foreman, Plug Parsons.
I found Judge Nippers in his office, nipping a little amber stuff from a flask.
Come in, boy, and join the party.
He handed me the flask. I'm on duty.
Well, so am I. Little hooch improves duty.
He sure was an ugly cuss, who reminded me of a bullfrog, except bullfrogs look nicer and got no hair. Nippers had hair going in the wrong direction all the time, which he oiled down with lamb fat or something. It sure made the top of his head look slippery, which is probably how his mind worked, too. I never met no one with such a slippery mind as Judge Nippers. He made most of the county lawyers look like virgins. I took the flask. since he was waving it before my eyes like I had some duty to perform. It sure wasn't red eye. It was something smooth and fine. He must have got it sent to Doubtful, because there wasn't stuff like that served in any saloon I knew of.
You've come to talk about the hanging. You're going to tell me you're not up to pulling that lever and sending that brat to his fate. You're going to tell me to bring in a professional hangman.
Well, it crossed my mind.
You don't enjoy hangings.
Well, it ain't high on my list of pleasures.
Well, it beats having a woman. Oh, but it isn't as good as a satisfying trip to the outhouse. Oh, a good trip to the outhouse? Well, now that's the most underrated event on earth.
I sure didn't know how to talk to a judge talking like that. He nipped another sip from his flask and smiled. You nip your way through a trial?
Yeah, a good nip improves the sentence. I never lay a sentence on anyone until I've refueled a little.
Improves?
You bet, young fella. Justice is sublime. It takes a keen understanding to fashion a sentence that fits the crime. A good nip will inspire me to improve the sentence by 2 or 3 years. I believe you repaired to my chambers to discuss something.
I don't need to repair nothing.
Repaired, to make one's way.
You sure got a few years of school on me, Judge.
Well, you can cure that with a sip or two.
I guess what I come to ask is whether you can stop a hanging.
Yes, I can stay it.
What would that take?
New and compelling evidence.
Otherwise, you just let her rip?
Otherwise, you, the sheriff, will pull the lever. And our young prisoner drops about 10 feet and dangles with a broken neck, and justice is entirely done, and the world is made whole again.
I got an itch about this, Your Honesty.
Your Honor.
And my honor's fine. Doing a hanging's about as hard as it goes, but there's one thing worse.
Worse? How could anything be worse?
Hanging an innocent man.
Ah, you're getting soft. I thought you were a tough son of a bitch, Pickens. You've gone soft on me.
I do what I have to do, sir.
I can see it. About 10 minutes before you're required to pull the lever at 11 in the morning and drop King Bragg, you'll resign. You'll say you're not up to sheriffing anymore, so here's the badge, and you're on your way to California or the Fiji Islands or someplace like that where you can eat coconuts and sun on the beach. Fess up now, Pickens. I got the measure of you.
You calling me something?
Nothing you wouldn't call yourself.
I sort of think maybe the Bragg boy's innocent.
Innocent? Just by carrying the name of Bragg, he's guilty as hell.
Well, I'm not sure he done it. I think something happened in there, and I don't know what, and I need to find out.
This is pure cotton.
Well, that's how I'm called, all right, but I've learned a few things.
You can tell me, but it won't budge me one iota.
Them three that got killed, the Jonas Brothers and the one called Rocco, they was bad apples with some Dodgers on them for rustling and stuff.
Well, good riddance, then.
Yeah, well, there's some calves out on the T-bar with altered brands like they'd been mavericked. And I was sort of wondering how Crayfish Ruble is dealing with that. Maybe the Jonas Brothers were nipping calves from their boss, and Rocco was in there somehow.
Why, obviously, Crayfish arranged for the Bragg boy to come into the Last Chance and blow them off.
Judge, they sort of goaded him to go over there to the Last Chance. He was drinking an ale, nice and peaceful, over to the sampling room when Ruble's foreman, he come in and began working on the boy, getting him to come next door because they were saying stuff about Admiral Bragg.
Well, Admiral Bragg deserves everything they say about him.
So the kid went over there, ordered a drink, and someone hit him. And next thing he knew, he was on the floor holding his hot revolver, and there's bodies around.
Yes, yes, that's all in the trial record.
Well, what if the boy didn't do it?
You got even the tiniest shred of evidence?
Well, King Bragg don't remember it.
You gotta do better than that, boy.
I'll keep looking, and if I find out something, I'm coming back here, and I'm gonna ask you to stop this hanging.
Well, fat chance.
I got out of there. Nippers had already hanged the boy in his mind and wouldn't be changing anything before the necktie party. I knew who I wanted to talk to. That dirtbag foreman, Plug Parsons, him who lured King Bragg over to the other bar and testified that the boy killed 3 men there. Plug was always sort of smirky, and I never much cared for him, but now I cared even less. He'd either be at Rosie's or at the Last Chance Saloon, so I hightailed it over to the saloon and looked around in there, but I didn't see him. There was a mess of T-bar men in there, whistling at me when I walked in and making jokes, but no Parsons. Upward just stared at me and then watched me leave. So maybe it would be Rosie's. I walked right in, past the unlit red lamp, it'd be an afternoon. Parsons, he wasn't in the parlor or the kitchen or nowhere downstairs, so I tried all the doors upstairs and checked out a couple of snoring males, but Parsons wasn't in there either. Well, I guess I would just have to wait. Truth to tell, I was itching to grab a fistful of shirt and hammer on Parsons until he talked. But first, I had to find him. Doubtful ain't a big place, but a man could still hide himself in town for a while if he wanted to. I didn't see anyone resembling Parsons, who was pretty solid beef from head to toe, so I decided to check on Critter. I hiked over to Turk's livery barn and found Critter gnawing on the gate, which was bad. You don't want a gate-chewing horse around. Cut it out! You'll wear down your teeth and die young.
You talking about me?
It was Plug Parsons, standing in the aisle behind me. I've been looking for you.
So I've heard.
I got some questions to ask about that night that the T-bar men got shot.
I've already testified, Sheriff.
I got a few more ends to tie up. Did you go into the sampling room and dog the boy some?
I thought maybe you wanted to talk about something else. That was weeks ago. Forget it.
We're gonna talk about that, and I want some answers. What did you tell the boy? Why did you lure him over to the Last Chance?
You trying to spring that little killer, Sheriff?
Well, maybe he should be sprung.
You're a two-bit punk with a shiny badge. Grow up.
My ma says I'm big for my age. Plug's ham fist swung around. But I shoved him down fast and hard. Then he sprang up quick, reaching for his peacemaker. But he was slower than me. Mine was out and pointed. He saw that muzzle aimed between his eyeballs and sort of settled down some. Now answer my questions and do it right. He just stared at me. What happened when King walked in? Plug was beet red, hotter than a boiler. Who was in there? You and Upward and who else? Plug just glared. What knocked that boy into the sawdust? Plug was steaming now. Who shot those three T-bar men? Plug's eyes gave him away. He wasn't very good at hiding things, but neither was he talking. Whose gun killed them men?
It's all in my sworn testimony.
Your testimony's a lot of bull. He was standing there, wondering which way to jump. Lean against that wall, hands high. He was slow about it, but he obeyed, and I grabbed his revolver. All right, I'm locking you up. Walk in front of me.
For what?
I think of something. I could see he was about to try something. So I buffaloed him. That barrel made a dent in his skull, but it taught him a little respect. Walk. He wobbled out of the livery barn, but no one stopped us. There was a couple of them T-bar men lounging around the sheriff's office. I got an itchy finger. Plug shook his head, and they got the message. Rusty must have seen me coming because the door swung open, and I jabbed Plug into the office. The door swung shut behind us.
What'd he do?
I figured out. Rusty opened the iron door to the cells, and we patted down Parsons, and then shoved him into one and slammed the door. Across the aisle, King Bragg was staring at us. Parsons had a lump on his head and rubbed it.
Want to know something? I'm going to kill you. Maybe not now, but soon. You can count on it. And if I don't, my men will. There's not a one wouldn't plug you on sight. You and everyone you hire, you know that, Sheriff? You just bought the ranch.
I let Plug cool down a couple of hours, and then headed into the cell block. He was standing with those ham hands on the bars, glaring away. You can go. It sure startled him some. You ain't done nothing much except grab my shirt and cuss me out. I guess I can forget that fast enough. He simply dead-eye glared at me so much, I thought to go real easy. I was ready, just in case. I unlocked the cell door. And and he bulled through hard, maybe to knock me off balance, but he saw I was ready with a billy club that I knew how to use hard and fast. Instead, he simply stopped and fixed me with that glare.
I'll kill you as soon as I can, Pickens. I'll kill you and kick in your face and hang you from the nearest tree. It don't matter whether I kill you face to face with a short gun or shoot you in the back with a long one, because either way, you'll be cold meat.
You go cool down at Rosie's and stay quiet. I don't want to see you running around doubtful for a while.
Punk kid wearing a star. You'll pay, Pickens. You'll be horse meat before you know it.
Get along now.
I won't forget this, you punk. As long as I live, I'll remember this, and I'll come kick manure on your grave.
I eased him through the sheriff's office while Rusty watched real careful, and then I pushed Plug out the door and locked it.
You didn't charge him? You let him go?
Oh, he'll get past it.
You could have charged him with a dozen things. Haul him in front of Nippers. Put him behind iron for 6 months.
He got whooped. Not many foremen ever get whooped.
He was madder because you let him go than he was when you dragged him in.
Oh, he's the big bull. And you know how them bulls are, Rusty. Now he don't have much to bitch about. I let him go. Only thing he's really mad about is because I got the drop on him and hauled him in.
Well, you better watch your back.
It's a gamble. We watched Plug race down Wyoming Street toward the red light district, and I knew that within minutes the story, Plug's version anyway, would be spreading around there. We better ford up. Rusty, he spread the spare shotguns at the barred windows, and we dropped the bar on the door. We had boxes of buckshot shells that could make nasty holes in crowds. It would be Rusty and me against them T-bar men, and I thought we'd do pretty well. We'd get help, too, soon as Bertel and DeGraff heard the banging. I headed back into the cell block and found King Bragg standing just behind the bars. You enjoy that?
I thought he'd tear those bars apart and kill me before he killed you.
You talk about anything?
I asked him a few things. Like what happened after I walked into the Last Chance with him dogging me. Wouldn't you like to know, Plug said. And I said I would, because I sure don't know what happened. All I know was I walked into the Last Chance and there were a few T-bar men and crayfish and Upward served me a red eye and I waited to see what they were going to say to my face.
And then?
I'll never know, Sheriff. And I'll hang for not knowing what happened next.
Who else was in the Last Chance?
Foxy and Weasel Jonas and Rocco all bellied up to the bar sipping whiskey.
And somehow you shot him. The look in his face was about as sad as any I ever did see. There was something about this that was nagging at me, but I sure couldn't figure what. So I changed the subject. I'm expecting some visitors.
Armed and ready to break in, kill you and Rusty, and then kill me.
If it comes to it, I'll free you and give you the means to defend yourself. But I want your word of honor.
I won't give my word of honor, so forget it. If they catch me in here and kill me, that's how it'll be.
You want anything? Water?
You want to take my piss pot out and empty it?
In a while. Right now, I got to deal with Plug. He sure had some heat in him.
Nothing'll happen.
I wasn't so sure. I locked up the cell block and slid the key into my pocket. Rusty, he was studying the streets, but they looked calm enough. It wasn't yet dark, this being late spring with lots of long light. I decided not to light the kerosene lamp. Not this eve. We were going to sit there in the dark and watch the streets and close the shutters if lead started flying.
You think they'll try midnight or later?
I'm thinking maybe dawn, when they figure we've drifted off.
Go to sleep, Cotton. I'll watch.
I couldn't if I wanted to. The night was real quiet, and we saw no one hunkered down out there. With dawn, Bertel and DeGraff showed up, and I was glad to see them. We filled them in and left them in charge, while I headed back to Bell's boarding house where I had me a little room. I didn't need much from life. There was an iron bedstead in there, a blanket and pillow, a place for a trunk, and a place to hang up a few clothes. So I walked home through empty streets, since the merchants weren't up and around yet. Bell's boarding house sure was quiet. My room was up on the second floor, at the rear. I went down that hall. Then I noticed the door was ajar a little. I whipped out the .44 without thinking twice. I paused, wondering what to do, thinking maybe I should get flat on my belly.
Do come in, Mr. Pickens. I've been waiting most of the night for you.
You alone in there, Mrs. Gladstone?
Certainly. Three's a crowd at a rendezvous.
A who?
A lover's meeting, my dear.
I edged the door open, ready to shoot, and saw she was alone, sitting in the one chair I possessed. I slid my revolver back in its holster and eyed the lady. She sure was nice looking, wearing a white wrapper, with her hair down and falling over her shoulders. The dawn light from the window seemed to flow like gold over her.
Come in, dear boy. We'll have a little tete-a-tete.
She motioned me toward the bed, where I sat down real gingerly. She waited a moment while I studied her white wrapper. I couldn't keep my eyes off that white wrapper. There wasn't much under there. Her dress and all that other stuff, all them thingamabobs women wear, she had folded them all into a stack sitting on my dresser. So I was stuck with staring at her wrapper because I didn't know what else to do.
Now then, we'll just talk a little. I might have some information for you. I know you're looking into that whole tragedy. You've been asking questions. I'm hoping you'll save the dear boy. I'm very fond of him. My information might lead you to the truth about King and might free him from the awful fate that awaits him.
Well, what is it, ma'am?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you. Not unless I have my way with you. Mind you, what I know might not change anything. I know nothing about what happened next door after King left with Mr. Parsons.
Well, seems to me if you're keeping stuff from me, then you're going against the laws. Someone told me that once. You've got to fess up all you know.
Well, that's for you to decide. I have a price. We would have a lovely time. I'm an experienced woman.
You gotta tell me what you know, how you know it, and why you're telling me.
Just say open sesame and magic will happen.
Now, what's that supposed to mean?
Ah, dear boy. I'm looking forward to teaching you.
Ma'am, I've got a headache.
That's very familiar. You may turn your back.
I did.
You can turn around now.
She was dressed, with a small, sad smile on her lips. She leaned forward. She kissed me softly and left my boarding house room. My ma always told me I'm a little slow.
Don't you go nowhere. Cotton Pickings continues on the next CD.